Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, Lord have mercy, Lord have mercy. It is the debut of the Left Coast Bias, and why can't even think of an even greater opening entry than playing some West Coast old school hip hop? That's right, West Coast gangster rap. Not that there's any gangsters in this, in this show or anything. You know, there's no gangsters.
Speak for yourself.
No, I mean, here's the fucking thing, okay? So, John and I have been talking a little bit, and we figured, here's what we're going to do, okay? We're going to start a show, and, you know, we're not going to, it's going to be just whatever the hell we just want to talk about. It could be this, it could be that, we can just do anything. So we just said, okay, here's what we're going to do. On the fly, we're just going to have this show. No, you know, nothing's crazy, we're not going to script it. We're just going to say exactly what's on our fucking minds. That's right, I swear. That's right. All these years, I swear. John, how the hell are you doing tonight, buddy?
Yeah, I'm doing good. It's one more day to Friday, my Friday at least. So I'm feeling very good with that.
That's good. The other guy.
And you know what? And listen. One of the most storied rivalries in college football is happening on Saturday, and that is Army-Navy. So
okay.
I want to give props to the military academies. And being that my father was Navy for 20 years, go Navy, beat Army. That's how I'm going to start tonight's show.
All right, that's cool. The other guy on this show, John, and now, granted, he's in Baltimore, so he's on the East Coast. The show is Left Coast Bias, okay? So it is all about the things that are on the West Coast. And he's on the East Coast. Not only is he on the East Coast, he's actually moving to another East Coast city. He's not even remotely near the West Coast. Like, when he was in Texas, like, we can give him a pass because he's close enough to L.A. where it kind of counts. When you're in the middle of Texas, you're just, like, in the middle of, like, nowhere. So it is what it is. So you can go either way. You can go Midwest. You can go West Coast. So we might have given him the benefit of the doubt. But at least his team, at least his bread and butter is in the American League West. So I think, John, we can give him, just for tonight, at least somewhat of a pass. Can we do that? Can we give Bo at least somewhat of a pass because his team at least is in the West?
We can give him a pass for tonight. Just for tonight, though, he's going to have to do something about being geographically challenged right now.
Hey, you know, if it helps, I'm also a Lakers fan.
No,
that doesn't help because you know what? Me and Steve don't like any teams from California.
Well, I wouldn't say that. I mean, you know me, John. I'm kind of a Sharks fan. I've been a Sharks fan for quite a while. They reside in the Bay Area. I'm kind of a closet A's fan, so I kind of like the A's. You know what I mean? You know me. I what's kind of fun? And I like the Dodgers.
How can you not like the Dodgers?
I like the Dodgers. How can you not like the most overrated franchise in the history of Major League Baseball? How can you not love the team that
we're talking about most overrated franchise. You gotta throw the Yankees in there with that. Come on.
Well,
I mean, the Yankees had 27 World Championships. How they overrated?
Whoa. Last minute championship in 2009, 27 championships. Yeah, John, 27 championships, the most titles in major sports.
I don't think they're overrated, Steve.
Yeah, overrated. Totally, John. You are so correct. They are so overrated. 27 championships. I'll tell you what. Here's what. Yeah, let's lay out. Dude, Jeter, he's a bum. He is such an overrated bum. Screw Jeter. Screw that. Babe Ruth, complete bum. Now you like, dude, we're talking about the worst. I'm just messing with you guys, man. It's funny. It's funny though. But think about this though. The Dodgers. This is the funniest thing about the Dodgers, John. Haven't won a World Series since 1988, and before that, the last time they won a World Series was in 1955. In the 70s, and then they hadn't won one since the 50s. This is literally one of the more storied franchises in Major League Baseball. They print money like the New York Yankees, seriously, and they do not have the rings to match. This team is loved. People slurp at the altar of the Los Angeles Dodgers. And yet they cannot produce the rings. And it's so funny. They spend money like it is going out of style. And they seem, they just literally, they cannot get past either the San Francisco Giants or they cannot get past the St. Louis Cardinals. And it doesn't matter how much money you throw at the altar of Clayton Kershaw. I don't pray at the altar of pray at the altar of Clayton Kershaw, but no matter how much money you throw at him, he still can't beat the Cardinals. Period.
Kershaw is a good pitcher, okay? I think we can say that, but I always look at, you can mow through the regular season, but when you get to the postseason, I think it's safe that we can all agree that the postseason is a very, very different animal than the regular season.
But that's the whole thing. Is if anything Major League Baseball has showed us over the last 10 years, that elite pitching and elite defenses have won championships, and Clayton Kershaw is a fantastic pitcher. And yet, for whatever reason, there's just certain things that you can't get by. We'll save the Dodger bashing. And it was kind of funny. It's left coast sports show. We should like keep praying and just slurping like everybody else is the owner of the Dodgers. But we're not going to do that tonight. Here's what we're going to set this show up. And we're going to, first of all, we're going to start by sweeping the dial. We're going to talk about some national sports headlines that are sweeping the nation. Then we're going to get to our featured topic, which again is going to be college football. The college football playoff. We're going to talk a little NFL. We're going to talk a little winter meetings, and we're also going to get to the fraud files tonight. And that, of course, is the commissioner of fraud who is going to lay out the fraudulent myths in sports today. And you know what? I can tell you, it's going to be. I have no idea exactly. He won't even give me hints. He'll say there's nominees, but he won't even give me hits. So we're going to go to the desk of the commissioner of fraud. And we will get the fraud files. We will get the lowdown. We will get the dirt. We will get the scoop. We will get that tonight in, like, roughly about 30 minutes. So, unfortunately, you're going to have to hear us, like, choose through that until we get to the stuff. I'm sorry.
Let's not forget. Let's not forget. As you were alluding to, Steve, we will have the fraud of the week.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
The fraud of the week.
Files, man. By the way, John, the fraud files are quite sexy, but they're not as sexy as the Rockford files. I'm sorry. The Rockford files, those are the top files, followed by the forensic files, and then maybe like the fraud files come third. I like them. I do. But, you know, you have to go in order in terms of – I'm just messing with you, man. I'm sorry.
I don't have a catchy theme song – for the fraud file, the fraud of the week, for the fraudulent files, like the Rockford files has.
Can I download the theme song for you from the Rockford files so I can at least be like, you know, at least I can have some like fun. Can we get the Rockford files theme song and we can? That would be awesome, actually. That would be pretty fun. That would be pretty good. All right, so let's sweep the dial. Let's start off. In my favorite home, my favorite city in the United States, John, you know exactly where I'm going. Bo, you should know it because I am a sympathizer. I am a sympathizer of the city of Cleveland. I love the city of Cleveland.
God.
I don't know why. I cannot explain it, John. I really can't. Bo, you guys have known me for so long, and I can't tell you why I love the city of Cleveland. I just do. I like them. And Maybe it's just because I wish the Browns would be good. Maybe I wish that upon, you know, the altar of Clayton Kershaw.
Never gonna
I don't know. Maybe, just maybe, I just want to see the days of Bernie Kosar and the Cleveland Browns being good. Maybe, but whatever. That's not the case this year. They're pretty terrible. As a matter of fact, they're fucking terrible. And they're destined to have the number one pick. But at least Johnny Football is going to be taking taking the reins as starting quarterback at the Cleveland Browns. And, of course, John, you know it. You saw it from afar. The kid can't stop drinking. He can't stop lying. His coach doesn't like him. As a matter of fact, the coach is probably going to get fired because he doesn't like him. The owner wants to see him play, so he's going to play. John, first question for you, do you even care?
Well, listen, the thing about this is that there's going to be a new regime in Cleveland. I think we can all agree to that. I will be shocked. Listen, I will be shocked if GM Ray Farmer and head coach Mike Pettine, as well as that whole coaching staff, I would be shocked if any of them come back next year.
Okay? I agree.
I think it's safe to say that there's going to be a new regime. And in that regard, we know what he's done. Okay, he's been quite the distraction. Not that the Cleveland Browns themselves are not a distraction, because let's face it, they're a shitty football team. Okay,
they're shitty. They're pretty bad.
You remember on the beginning of the movie Major League, one of my all time favorite baseball movies. You remember the beginning when you had the groundskeepers that I think they were Chinese, and they were talking in their native language, and they're going, they're shitty. Then when the Cleveland Indians started winning, they're taking care of the grounds and they're saying in their own language again, they're still shitty.
Yeah. Well, they're shitty.
So, but I think for Cleveland, for the Browns in that regard, the owner wants to see what Manziel can do. Now, you're going to have a whole new regime come in there. And here's the thing that I think is going to dictate this. I think Browns owner Jimmy Haslam, whoever is going to be the new GM as well as the coach, they are going to say, you know what? You have to buy in to Manziel being starting quarterback. I think that's what's going to dictate your next coach and GM coming into Cleveland. Because, look, I get it. Okay, Manziel has made some mistakes. I get it. He's a kid. Okay, but you got to see what he's got, because you lost Josh McCown for the season. I don't know how much of an upgrade or improvement Austin Davis is back there. Now, that was good.
That's pretty good. Austin Davis.
You have to find out what you have in him.
Right. And, Bo, here's the thing, man. See, okay. I know everything there is to know about Johnny Manziel, the douchebag, okay? I think we know exactly how douchey of a dude Johnny Manziel is. I don't think there's anything that there needs to be seen on Instagram or Twitter or TMZ that can make him look even more of a douche. I think we understand that Johnny Manziel is just a 22, 23-year-old douche, and he's going to do what he's going to do. Do you know what I don't know about Johnny Manziel? I don't know how good of a starting quarterback he is, because we have not seen him at all, because, you know, he's so much of a douche he can't get on the field. And so there's such a small sample size that you just don't really know it. I wouldn't say it's the unknown. It's not like some Tebow, like, mystique, you know, maybe there's some evil genius in Johnny Manziel or something like that. But we don't know. And the thing about this is, and John just pointed to it, I think Jimmy Haslam is in that point where he's like, listen, we used a valuable commodity in a first-round pick on this douche. So let's just see what the Wonder Douche can do over the last four games. The schedule is kind of tough because you have Seattle, San Francisco, and you have Seattle, San Francisco, Arizona. You have the rest of the NFC West defenses that you kind of really just want to punch him in the face because, again, he's kind of a douche, and that's what you do with douches. You kind of just want to punch him right in the face. But at the end of the day, though, it's like you did spend a number one pick, and who knows, maybe Johnny Manziel might come out there and do something that we're like, oh, the douche can play. So I think you gotta play him.
They have Austin Davis.
It's like, who are you gonna play? Who are you gonna play? You're 2-9. For Christ's sake, you're 2-9, and you're Barkley is the number one pick. Why would you not play Johnny? He's the best athlete at the quarterback position on your roster.
Hey, listen, if you guys will remember, about a month ago when Cleveland went into Pittsburgh and Manziel started that game.
Played well.
He played well. Now granted, the Steelers defense, they're not a vaunted defense, okay? But I think he put up close to 400 yards in that game. Yeah, not that that's hard to do against the Steelers.
don't be a curmudgeon, John. Bo, I mean, listen, dude, it's the douche. You got to play the douche, right? You have no choice but to play. If you're Mike Pettine, you might as well be fired. This is so Cleveland Brownsonian right now. But you got to play the Wonder Douche, don't you?
Well, okay, you do. You do, mainly because you really have no other choice. I think you look at how they demoted him down to third string, and now they're starting, and that tells you all you need to know about their current situation. I mean, you're talking about an organization that you couldn't – if you're a fan of the Cleveland Browns, you get all excited. You go buy Madden, and you're like, I'm going to win the Super Bowl on Madden. You couldn't win the Super Bowl on Madden on cheat codes with this organization.
I think you probably could.
No,
the settings down to zero, where you can literally just beat everybody's brains in, when the computer's playing on rookie, you might be able to.
You couldn't do it.
No, okay.
John was talking earlier about how he expects a complete regime change. I really do not expect Johnny Manziel to be a Cleveland Brown when it comes draft time. I fully expect the Browns to ship him off to somebody for a 3 if they're lucky, more than likely a 4 or a 5, and then it's going to be done. It's going to be Brandon Weeden and the 20 other quarterbacks that they've drafted ahead of these guys all over again. That's what Cleveland does. That's just the thing.
They have not had a decent quarterback in there since Kozar. Maybe Testaverde.
The predictulator, okay, the Coors Light predictulator is going to say, yeah, I'm drinking Coors Light. The Coors Light
on the Mountains Blue, are you enjoying your bottled water?
Shut up, Bo. Coors Light, by the way, is actually pretty good. Anyways, the Coors Light predictulator, John, says that Johnny Manziel, you're probably right, though. He probably might not be a Cleveland Brown next year, but you know what he definitely will be next year? John, you know exactly where I'm going with this one. He is going to be a Dallas Cowboy next year. Manziel has Dallas Cowboy written all over him. No doubt about it.
The Cowboys don't care if their quarterback drinks beer. That's all I'm saying. They don't care.
And they don't care if their defensive linemen beat women either, but,
Also true.
Dude, it is douche and palooza down to Big D. I guarantee you, Johnny Manziel, his backward hat and his puka shells will be a Big D next year, and his little crew of bras. His little crew of bras are going to be down there in Dallas next year. But we're going to sweep the dial one more time because we do have to get to a little bit of baseball news because, as we know, Bo and John, the winter meetings have been absolutely red hot. A lot of big names have come off the board. Zach Greinke goes to the Arizona Diamondbacks. then followed by the trade of Shelby Miller. The Arizona Diamondbacks look to be in a position of strength with their pitching staff. The San Francisco Giants, they signed Jeff Samardzija. The LA Dodgers are a little bit behind the curve, and they signed my boy, the injured Japanese wonder boy, Hisashi Iwakuma. So the NL West is kind of shaping up to be, again, a pitching type of division. But the one thing that we haven't seen in this entire scope of winter meetings is the outfield market taking shape. But now we're starting to hear that won't even come about until Jason Hayward signs his mega deal. And I got to be honest with you. If Jason Hayward gets $200 million, I am going to shit my pants. I am literally
He's got
going
that offer on the table now.
I am going to shit my pants, John, because Jason Hayward is not even literally Jason Hayward and the word $200 million should not even be in the same sentence. It's a dude who can play defense. We know he can play defense, but it is a dude who literally let me put it this way. Robinson Cano is a very good player, but should the Mariners have paid him $240 million? Of course not. Because you do not pay a light-hitting second baseman. I consider him – he was fine in New York, and he can hit 30 in New York, but he's not going to be able to even sniff that at Safeco. You don't give him $24 million a year, 10 years. You don't give a defensive plus type of player that really cannot hit 25 and drive in 100. If you can't do that, you don't give him $200 million, and yet this dude is holding up the outfield market. Jason Hayward, Major League Baseball is being held up at the winter meetings because Jason Hayward is waiting to sign his contract.
But here's the thing. Hayward was a big part of that Cardinal offense, last season. He truly was. And the word is, if he's narrowed it down to two teams, and the Chicago Cubs are in play as one of the teams.
Nets, what, Cubs, Cardinals, Nats? Even the Angels were involved at some point.
Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't know what you guys think, but if I had to look right now at a World Series favorite, it's got to be Chicago. With the talent that
they
have. Are
the Cubbies?
And the young players that they have, I tell you what, Joe Maddon did a phenomenal job managing them. And to me, they're going to be one of the front runners in the National League. There's no question in my mind.
No, I agree.
Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, if he lands in the north side, fine. The right field corner in Wrigley Field will be defensively better than it has been. I can't even tell you the last time the Cubs have had a defensive stalwart in right field. Andre Dawson, maybe. I don't even know. But the simple fact of the matter is if you're going to pay John a dude $24 million, $25 million, $28 million. I want a dude that consistently, at least for four seasons, can hit 25 and drive in 90. Jason Hayward is never going to sniff 25 and 90. He's not that type of player. He is a gap-to-gap power hitter, but that's fine. And he can occasionally hit one. If he goes to Chicago, the ballpark will profile to his bat, so maybe he'll hit 20. Maybe he'll hit 20 just because of the ballpark factor alone. But the dude is not – like when you think of a $24, $25, $26 million a year player, you think about a dude that can hit 30 and it can drive in 100 in his sleep.
Somebody like that, and I know that the amount of money is way past the time – that this former player played, but when I look at someone making that kind of money, you better be a slugger. And by that, I mean you need to be on the level of a Barry Bonds, a Ken Griffey Jr.
Yeah.
I could even go with Albert Pujols in this modern era for us. I mean, you have got to be a big bopper, in my opinion. And, no, Hayward does not fit that profile. But here's the thing. We see it every year, guys, and it doesn't matter who the player is and what position they play. How many times do we see teams go out there and overspend and overpay guys that they shouldn't?
Every year?
Here,
And this is just another example of that. This is just going to be another example of that wherever Hayward ends up. Somebody out there is going to pay the money.
No, and it's, you're right, because that's the whole thing. Is we every single year when these contracts go down, we always ask the question, is he worth the money? Well, of course he is, because some team paid him. We knew that the Pujols deal was ridiculous. We knew the Prince Fielder deal was ridiculous. The Cano deal, that was easily ridiculous. And if Jason Hayward gets $200 million, that's going to be ridiculous as well, too. This is the funny thing about this, is Chris Davis is actually a bona fide slugging first baseman who probably won't sniff $150 million. He'll get close, or he'll get
right
around
that. Not sure.
The
O's had $150 on the table. But when you talk about Chris Davis, you're talking about a home run here, but you're also talking about a guy that hits .230.
Yeah, right, but whatever. That's
he hits .230. He may slug 40 home runs, but he hits .230.
Right, but he also has an OBP over .300 as well too. So that's the whole thing. It's like, that's fine. I don't care about the batting average. But if you're paying $24-$25, you're paying for the peripheral. You're paying for the power peripherals. That's the whole business of the $200 million contract. If you're going to give a quarter of a billion dollars to one person, I mean, for at least three seasons, this dude's got to be able to at least hit 35. Chris Davis is not. Mm-hmm. Chris Davis is not going to even like Chris Davis. You would think would okay, well, because you know for a fact that he can hit 45. I mean, the dude can hit, and you would expect that maybe that type of power would play and that type of contract. He's not even sniffing that, and yet a dude like Jason Hayward. I mean, give me a break. Here's the thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Getting back to John's original statement about that, it's funny. Okay, so here's the thing, John. I love you, man. I do. You're my boy. I love you. The Chicago Cubs, the favorites, the early favorites in December. The early favorite. Okay. Let me ask you this question, John, honestly. The San Francisco Giants, 3 championships in 6 years, okay? We know this.
Okay.
The Giants are fantastic. What happens? They just signed Jeff Samardzija. What happens if they sign Johnny Cueto and they pair that with Samardzija and Madison Bumgarner, with the bullpen they have, the defense that they have, and their ability to catch fire every other year?
Well, I don't know where the hell they were last season, but...
Right, they win championships every other year.
I'll say this much. Arizona's going to have something to say with the acquisitions that they have made. Now, here's the thing. Is a guy like Zach Greinke worth all that money? I don't think so. There's no way in hell I would have paid that kind of money.
No.
Would you pay $217 for David Price?
Also, no with postseason stats.
You know what? Here's my thing. I have a problem with the high-dollar contracts like that. We're talking... you know, $200 million contract. We're talking about these big contracts with the amount of term. You know what?
Yeah, right.
All three of us know, okay, a 7-year contract, an 8-year contract, a 10-year contract, okay? How many times have we seen it in the past with these big contracts? The player never makes it.
Yeah.
To play out
never.
That contract,
never.
And then the team that signed him, when they get to a point where the player could no longer render their services to the franchise, then the team wants to move on, and then everybody's bitching about can't move the contract.
Mm-hmm.
Well, for the love of God, you shouldn't have signed him to the contract to begin with.
Yeah.
I feel you.
I mean, really.
I feel you.
You know what?
Go ahead.
Yeah, if you think about it, though, I mean, like, you look at all these contracts that have been doled out ever since, you know, A-Rod got the initial 10-year $252. A-Rod's the only one that actually finished that original contract. Granted, he did half it with the Rangers, half it with the Yankees. But he's the only one that actually did. But he was also really young when he signed it. Signing, say, an Albert Pujols to 10 years – or, you know, a David Price at 6 or 7 or a Greinke. I mean, it is coming down from 10 years,
But now the AAV has gone up.
Well, and I think
if the AAV, hold on, if the AAV goes up, if you're okay, so for instance, guys, when Robinson Cano was signed with the Mariners for 10 years at $240, okay, the idea is simple: you're signing him for the remaining of his prime, and he was what, 30? So you're signing him for maybe 3 years. So seven years of that deal is pretty much of a wash. So you're paying him $24 million for the first 3 years of the deal because you think within 3 years you're going to win the championship, and at the very least you're going to get 3 years of his prime at $24 million. Well, why didn't you just do this? Why didn't you just go to Jay-Z and say, listen, Chica, here's what we're thinking. The Yankees are giving you – listen, Chica, here's the thing.
I'm fairly sure that's exactly how – it was approached, but go ahead.
No, actually, this is exactly what Jack Forensic said. He said, "Listen, Jigga, can you bounce with me for a second? Can you chicka, can you bounce with me? All right, here's the thing. Yeah, I just did that. So here's the thing. This is what he did. Instead of the Yankees are giving you offering you seven and 156. How about we just do this? How about we offer you four, and we'll give your guaranteed money of $30 million a year." Because let's be perfectly honest, we only want him for three. We only want the remaining of his prime years, and I understand security, but at $30 million at 4 years, that's $120 million, and at the average yearly rate, you are the highest paid player in Major League Baseball, highest paid offensive player in Major League Baseball. You don't need the years, you just need the dollars. So why don't we just give you the dollars up front? And that way, when you're 38 and it's 2018 and we're rebuilding again, we don't have to justify keeping you on our 25 man roster, because we have to pay you $24 million. So why don't we just do this? Why don't we just pay you for the years that we need you and just make you the highest paid player? Because isn't that when the agent sits down, Bo? They want, especially for a guy like Robinson Cano, they want to make him one of the highest paid players in baseball. So why don't you just do that? Let's cut the bullshit. And okay, here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just make you the highest paid player for 4 years, and you still get the security. But we're just going to maximize this year, because here's the thing: the RSS regional, the regional television deals that allow these teams to print money offset the cost of these high ass contracts, John. That's how they get the money to get the Albert Pujolses of the world, the Prince Buehlers, name your player. So why would you want to, as a franchise? Because I understand it, because it's low overhead over the span of 10 years. That's why they do it, to lower the number. But screw all that. That's the whole thing. Is if you're shooting for a championship and you know for a fact it's going to cost you X amount of dollars to win a championship, then do it for a short amount of time and make him the highest paid player.
Well, but, couple things.
That saves everything. That saves time, energy, and money.
No, I'm with you. I understand that. I get that. But there's a couple of schools of thought here. One, that's very club friendly if you think about it, because you're only talking about hijacking
player
your payroll.
Friendly up front.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yes. But what are players when they talk about when they hit this point in free agency? Because you hit that six-year mark of service time, you enter free agency. What do players talk about? They talk about security. They talk about basically not having to go through this again, because I understand, like to you and me and to John and fans out there, we don't understand how it could be stressful, but it's very stressful for these players to go through free agency. They don't know where they're going. They don't know if they're going to get their money. They don't want to go through this again. So they want the years to keep them from going through this again. They want to go. They want to do this one time, get their cash,
right,
and stay where they're going to stay. At that point,
John,
it becomes, okay, we're going to give you the money, but we only want you for 4 years. Players don't react well to that.
Hey, John, I'm with you. See, that's the whole thing. John, I am 100% with you, except for one thing. I don't care about the money. The money is going to be what it is. I don't care about it, but I am with you 100%. I don't like the years at all. The years are what do
no,
what
yeah.
do it. I hate the years.
Because the years,
I don't think the players go ahead.
The amount of term on the contract. And here's my other problem with it. And I'm going to use your team, Steve. I'm going to use Seattle as an example, okay? They went out and they signed Robinson Cano. Big money. Big money contract. 10-year contract, right?
Yeah.
Right? Now, correct me if I'm wrong as I go. But how bad is that team? How many pieces have they put around him to ensure a winning ball club, a winning product? They haven't.
Well,
and that's my other problem is that teams go out there and spend the money and put the turn, but they don't build around them.
In all fairness, Jerry DePoto was hired for that exact reason, because they did spend $24 million a year over 10 years with Robinson Cano, and they did that because they want to win a championship. And so Jerry DePoto this offseason in 2 months has completely reshaped the Mariners into an actual title contender. There's a lot of people that look at what the Mariners have done and said, oh, Jesus, like the West. Seattle is actually now a legitimate contender in the West, not just a paper contender like they've been the last 2 years. And Bo, you're right. I'm wrong. Anyway. I was right. You were right the last 2 years, and I was completely wrong. I'm sorry, buddy. Anyways, but they're actually now a legitimate contender, not just a paper line. Let's finish sweeping the dial, and we're going to land in the Big 12. John, you and I, we're college football, just absolute crazy college football fans. Bo, you're in the Big 12 as well too, with the Texas Longhorns, except now that Charlie Strong is still going to be the head coach of the Texas Longhorns. Maybe it's Big 12 kind of.
Hey, I'm sick of my horn.
I know. But, John, a couple days ago, a very peculiar headline came out of the Big 12, and it basically said, listen, if you're a charter member of the Big 12, your non-conference schedule has to – it's mandated now. You have to schedule a Power 5 conference and or Notre Dame – In your non-conference. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. I thought the schedules were actually up to the head coaches and the institutions of the actual charter members of the conference, meaning that they are responsible for scheduling whoever the fuck they want to on their non-conference. So if they want to play Bowling Green 3 straight weeks in a row, they can do whatever the fuck they want. But yet the commissioner, I'm going to call him Big 12 Moses, on the Mount of with his Big 12 commandments, says no, we decree you have to play a member of the Power 5 conference and or Notre Dame. But by the way, it's Notre Dame, so it's not BYU. You can't have BYU. Fuck BYU. We're taking Notre Dame because they have the prestige. Yeah, so fuck BYU. Only one independent, the one that counts as a matter of fact. But Big 12 Moses says, with his Big 12 commandments, and says Power 5 conferences or Notre Dame, instead of, I don't know, say expanding the conference to say, gee, I don't know, 12 teams instead of 10, and, you know, putting a game on championship weekend, so it completely just makes that a moot point. Nope.
Yeah.
We're not going to split the revenue pie and bring in SMU or Houston or Cincinnati. Nope. Baylor, fuck you. You got to play Oregon. Or you got to play Oregon State. Or you got to play Washington State now. Nope. You got to potentially ruin your non-conference, John, because we don't want to expand.
Well, and you know what? And Bo, you know, probably out of the three of us, you're probably the Big 12 expert on this. So I'm dying to hear your opinion on this. But I'm going to say this about the Big 12. I have problems with the Big 12 for the simple fact, number one, I like their schedule. I like the fact that in their conference, every team plays every team. That's great. I wish more conferences did that.
Mm-hmm.
But my other problem is it's a 10-team conference. It's the Big 12. Make it 12 teams. My other problem is, the Big 12 wants all this love and prominence, and they want to be involved in the national picture. But guess what? You don't have a championship game. You don't have a conference.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, the round robin deal, it's great. But you've got to have a damn conference. You have to have a conference championship game.
Championship.
If you want to be of any relevance
mm-hmm. in today's
and
baseball.
And the college football playoff. Bo, correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah. I'm listening. Oh, you want me to, okay, never mind. I thought you were about to say something. No, you're right. Both of you guys are right. Sorry, man. But no, both of you guys are right. Both of you guys are right. You know, you have to have a conference championship game. There are plenty of universities that they can recruit to make this 12 teams. You know,
yep.
BYU comes to mind. BYU would be a fantastic add to the Big 12. Okay,
BYU.
That comes to mind.
BYU. Fuck BYU, you have two teams.
You just don't like the Mormons.
You have two teams in the state of Texas, one in the Houston market, the University of Houston, and one in the
Dallas
market.
University of Houston would also be good, yes.
And one of the Dallas market outside of TCU by the name of SMU. And now, granted, I understand football-wise, maybe it doesn't make a lot of sense, and you don't have to give them a big split of the pie. But you have two viable teams in the big state of
Texas
that qualifies.
Look, you're right. You know what? And frankly, adding SMU to the Big 12 would kind of be making an amends for the death penalty that shouldn't have been put on SMU in the first place. It might be making amends for that. But at the same time, guys, the one thing that you got to understand about the Big 12 is when the Aggies left, when Missouri left, when Texas cratered to like the bottom 10 in the country, this conference started to die. It started to die. And until Texas gets back to being the program it was 10 years ago, until Oklahoma and TCU and Baylor, actually, maybe if Oklahoma can go out and win this college football playoff, it changes things. But for right now, this conference is dying. So what the conference is doing is making these teams – go out and have high-profile non-conference games because that's really the only way to get them on TV.
No, it's the only way to make them look somewhat impressive in the eyes of the selection committee. See, here's the thing: the easiest solution. It's not even expansion of the Big 12, John. The easiest solution to this is expand the college football playoffs to 8. Okay, not 6.
Yep.
To fucking 8. Okay,
yep.
you expand to 8. You shorten the regular season. Instead of 12, you shorten it to 11 or 10. You shorten the non-conference by one game. You add an extra conference game or whatever. I mean, like, whatever the case may be, and that's exactly what you do. And that's the whole thing: is you have all Power 5 conferences represented by their college conference champions, and then you have 3 at-large bids. So, you know, so that means a Baylor can get in, or maybe an extra Pac-12
mm-hmm.
team, whatever the case may be, or Boise State or whatever the hell it might be. Well, you know, you get what I'm saying. That's the easiest solution.
I think, 8 teams definitely. It's got to go to 8 teams, in my opinion. And, you know, for a lot of the reasons that you just said. And I think also a thing to look at is if you want to shorten the season or do something a little different or make the college playoff very relevant, because let's face it, from the summertime, and maybe we could even go back to spring, when they start spring practice and have the spring drills and then it goes into the summer and you got, you know, the training camp opening up and what have you. I mean, you're looking at from September to December, they're playing football pretty much every weekend, and then you've got a whole month off from December to January, which,
mm-hmm.
you know, I get where it's good for the student-athlete because of final exams, because of this, because of that. But you know what? If you actually look to start the college football season later this September, maybe the end of September, beginning of October, I think you give more relevance to having that month of December not being the month off that it is right now. And
right.
if you follow some of, like, the FCS, their playoff format and how we do it, I mean, let's be honest, guys. You're going to have the playoffs on New Year's Eve. Now, I myself on New Year's Eve I'm not going anywhere. I'm not doing anything. So I'm going to be watching the games that day. But
right,
there's
a lot of people
that aren't down. They're not down with the New Year's Eve. They're not down with the and I can understand that. And, look, New Year's Day, unless it has fallen on a Sunday, New Year's Day has always ruled college football. It's like, why are we getting away from that now?
Still does.
You
still
know?
Does. I will say this, man. To me, it's greed on the part of the Big 12 because, listen, the college football playoff is not going to expand. I think we can all agree that the easiest solution is to expand the playoff and then every conference can be happy and satisfied, but that's not going to happen. And the reason why it's not going to happen is because, well, quite frankly, it creates drama, it creates headlines. Keeping it at four every single year was the reason why the BCS was so popular, because there's always a screw job that always, you know, inevitably comes. And so we can all understand that the four is going to stay at least for another five more years. The thing about this is, for the Big 12 specifically, is, John, I remember when the Pac-12 was expanding, and I got to be honest with you, USC, UCLA, Stanford, Oregon, and Washington, five teams that I think we can say that over the course of the last 50 years of the Pac-12, those five teams have been the most relevant teams in the Pac-12. They're what we like to call Pac-12 royalty. I hate to admit it, but they are. These five teams were against expansion of the Pac-10 because they knew that this new television deal was coming, and they didn't want to include Utah and Colorado because of the fact, well, quite frankly, they didn't want to split the pie either. They didn't want to split a piece of the pie, but cooler heads prevailed, and they basically said, listen, this is actually a good thing for the conference, and if we divvy it up the pie in just so much where the L.A. schools get the most, Oregon gets the second most, Washington gets some, whatever, the simple fact of the matter is this is going to be good. We can expand the markets, and we can actually broaden our recruiting base. And that's the whole thing. It took a visionary to say, hey, listen, I understand this. This is purely financial. You want to keep the money with inside the conference. We get that. But here's the deal. The way that college football is going, the way that this is going to play out, it's going to be even more money if these schools came in and they did that. And sure enough, the Pac-12 is pretty goddamn strong. For the Big 12 to sit back and say, hey, we're not going to expand because Texas wants a lot more of the money. And believe me, though, Texas wants all of the money. Texas wants the money.
Of course they do.
Oklahoma wants the money. And you know what? Schools like Kansas, schools like Oklahoma State and Baylor get nothing out of that TV deal. And you know what? If Houston came in, if Boise State came in, if BYU came in, if Cincinnati came in, they wouldn't make shit anyways. But at least, at the very least, you expand your recruiting, you expand your recruiting base, and it puts a game on the championship weekend, which extends the brand of the Big 12, and it makes them relevant when it comes playoff time. That is the point.
Well, yeah.
The problem is the Big 12 is so short-sighted.
Well, look, you know, I'm really glad you brought up recruiting, because how big of a mistake was it for the Big 12 to let A&M go to SEC? How huge!
Should have never happened.
How huge of a mistake was that? Because you're talking about A&M, which is a power school that's got a lot of draw when it comes to a football player playing there. You add the SEC television part of this. Texas A&M is racking up recruits left and right that the Longhorns used to get, that Oklahoma used to get, because the SEC is always on CBS. So that was a monumental mistake by the Big 12, letting A&M go to the SEC like that. First of all, you're talking about when your big schools in your conference going to the SEC, that killed recruiting for everybody else in the state.
It killed the Big 12 to let Missouri go.
Also true.
Well, I vote for the Rice Owls to go to the Big 12.
The Rice Owls?
Rice.
You know what, Ames?
You know what? You're a friend of mine. You're lucky we're on the air right now. Rice?
The Rice Owls?
Guys, listen. I was out of humor. How's that in humor? Come on now.
Oh, my
now,
God,
actually,
not really right.
Kind of funny. I'm glad you said Rice, but you didn't say North Texas. At least you didn't say, you know what, man, here's what we need. We need the Big 12. We really need the Big 12 to add the Mean Green. To add
the mean green.
No, not the Mean Green. Not the Mean Green.
Green.
Not the Mean Green.
So, okay.
No.
So here's what we're going to do. We got about a good 10 minutes. We got about a good solid 10 minutes. And now that we've kind of gotten through some fun, we talked a little sports. We haven't talked about the NBA because, you know what, fuck the NBA. And we didn't really talk a lot about the NFL because, you know what, fuck the NFL. You know what, here's the thing. I understand the NFL is popular, but, you know, fuck them.
They're popular because they play 1 week out of the year or 6 months out of the year. Come on, that's why they're popular.
Fuck them. Here's what I'm saying. John, fuck Roger Goodell. Fuck Roger Goodell. And his self-entitlement bullshit, because you know what? That league is coming. That league is going to fall on its ass within 10 years, although I said that 10 years ago and it's still popular. Fuck him. Fuck Roger Goodell.
Yeah,
fuck
but
him.
Hey, not very many kids are playing football anymore because of concussions, so you may not be far off on that.
You know what? Here's the thing.
I know that the NFL is popular with majority of Americans. You know,
they play on Sunday,
has,
John.
Well,
they
listen,
play on Sunday.
Listen, they
of course
play
they're
on
popular.
Sunday.
There's nothing else.
Bo, they all play on Sunday. Okay,
fine.
You know what else? Who else plays on Sunday? Jesus. I'm just kidding. No, but here's the thing, man. It fuck all the bullshit, because you know what? The NFL is just a watered down. I'm not even going to sit there and like reminisce about the days of old, because you know what? I get it, man. Sports has to evolve because just the way that the way the athletes change and the way that the game is played, it's whatever, man. So that's cool. Player safety, whatever, man. It's just the way that these athletes are today, they don't resonate with me the way that they used to. They're not blue collar anymore. They're just assholes. Mm-mm. Fuck them.
Not at all.
Fuck the league. Just fuck the league. Anyways, John, it is time for the fraud files. And here's the thing, man. I love John because he just has his own opinion of what fraud is. And you know what? It's the commissioner of fraud. So here's what we're going to do, John. We're going to go to the desk of the commissioner of fraud. And you know what? I know there's a big, thick, manila file folder on your desk full of documents, full of pictures, maybe some nude pictures. I don't know what's in that. I don't know what's in that file. You might even have some dirt on me. I don't know. But we're going to go to the commish of fraud, and we're going to get
Jay Edgar now.
Fuck, I don't know. Dude, no, he's John Edgar. He's John Edgar. That's exactly what he is.
He's got a
John Edgar. That's exactly what he is. So here's the thing,
Jay Edgar, commish of fraud.
We're going to go to the desk of the commission of fraud. We're going to get our nominees this week, fraud nominees, and then obviously John is going to give us the fraud of the week. So John, as the commissioner of fraud on this show, please do us the honor, man. Kick us off, man. It's the fraud files, baby.
Here are the nominees for fraud of the week. Okay. Number one, I'm going to say Thursday Night Football. That's number one.
Oh God.
These are nominees. Okay.
I love
these. I'm going to say Thursday Night Football because let's face it, folks. With the exception of tonight, and tonight was a fairly decent matchup considering the records of the two teams that are playing, but can we be honest? I mean, the only time that there should be Thursday football or Thursday night football is on Thanksgiving, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's on Thanksgiving. I mean, Thanksgiving is food, family, and football, so... You know, the NFL Thursday night football that they're forcing down all of our throats, that is a nominee for fraud of the week. As I stand and some here in the fraud files. I would also have to nominate.
Hey, John.
I've got to nominate bad Monday Night Football matchups.
Bad Monday Night Football matchups.
They're all bad, John.
You said bad Monday Night Football matchups.
They're all bad.
I thought there was going to be like a Montreal Canadiens drop here, or like a hipster who drinks designer beer drop, maybe. But it was Thursday Night Football and then bad Monday Night Football matchups. I love it.
I'm not done yet though. The Iron Sheet. I got two nominees. I'm gonna do five nominees. Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
My third nominee, the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Pittsburgh the hometown Pirates.
Ooh.
Yeah, the Pittsburgh Pirates for what they're doing to their team. Looking at it from the outside, I have no clue what the hell they're doing. Huh?
They got John Neath.
Oh. Who makes more money than Neil Walker, who they wouldn't re-sign. But if they'll bring in Neil Walker, and they'll bitch about the money that Walker wanted. You know, Pittsburgh Pirates, you are nominated for fraud of the week. Okay.
Pittsburgh. Hey, by the way, let's go ahead and start beef with the hometown hero. Let's go ahead and start beef because the hometown hero who has given everything to the hometown team wants to get paid. Now, fuck it. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to ship you off to New York. We're going to make the Mets stronger, and here's what we're going to do. We're going to get a left-handed pitcher in here who is basically like average, and then we're going to pitch him, and then we're going to discard him at the end of the year. And, oh, by the way, we don't really have an answer for second base. Maybe we'll put Jay Hay at second base. But he's not really a second baseman. We needed a first baseman, but we couldn't get Ike Davis. We couldn't even get Ike Davis to come to Pittsburgh.
I think Jason Heyward could be nominated as the fraud of the week for the simple fact of the absurd amount of money he's going to get paid.
Oh, I'm with you on that.
Fuck that. No, fuck that. Here's what I will say. This is exactly what I will say. Home dude that just signed with the Cubs, the four year wonder. What is Joe Madden's little bitch boy second baseman?
Zobrist.
35 years old and gets a 4-year deal. And oh, by the way, he held up the first 2 days of the winter meetings because people were worried about where Ben Zobrist was going. When did Ben Zobrist become? When did he become the flavor of the week? Of the winter meeting, Ben Zobrist should never.
Because
he
was on a World Series champion. That's why.
Yeah, but whatever. He's 35 years old, and he'll be done by the All-Star break of this year. He got a four years, Bo. By the time that contract ends, he will be 38 years old. Think about it. He's not going to the American League where he could DH or maybe switch to first base or whatever. He's going to the National League, and he's going to play for second base for the Chicago Cubs. Is he going to be the one?
I was like, oh,
okay, so I have one more nominee before we announce the winner. The last nominee of fraud of the week, I got to go with the Big 12 Conference in football. Because they weren't relevant, but yet you got Oklahoma in the playoff, but the conference and Steve, with what you highlighted tonight, I mean the fraud file for the Big 12 is getting a little thick.
Can I add a nominee to this one?
Can
I add a nominee to this? I'm going to add the Washington Huskies to my fraud file because here's the deal. I don't give a shit how bad you punked us in the Apple Cup. I really don't care. I do not care. I've seen you all year long. I know exactly what type of team you are. And the team that showed up on the Apple Cup is not the real Washington Huskies. That was an overbloated, that was just a pumped-up team that was playing at home and pumped out a team that was missing its starting quarterback. I don't believe in you. Your ass is going to the Heart of Dallas Bowl. You're 6-6. You have a freshman quarterback, a freshman running back, and a defense that's eight. You played well, cool. You won the Apple Cup, but here's the deal, dude. You're going to the Heart of Dallas Bowl. You ain't shit. You're playing some team that really, for the most part, is like 5-7. There's 40 bowls, man. They had to take somebody. You had to play somebody. Come on, man. Come on.
You know what, Steve? Look, hey, my alma mater's in the fourth round of the FCS playoffs, so I'm okay.
Oh,
they may not be they may not be FBS, but they're still in the fourth round of the FCS playoffs.
I can't stand the Washington Huskies. Anyway, man, that's my nomination for Father of the Week, man.
All right, so
I'm still bitter, man.
In my opinion, all of the evidence that I'm looking at is for the fraud of the week, I hate to sound like a homer, but it has to be my Pittsburgh Pirates for the simple fact of what they're doing and not doing with their team. Because you know what?
No.
They are not going to have a season that they have had the last 2 years.
Nope. And by the way,
John,
I will also add this, John. They are not committed to winning. Here's the simple fact of the matter in today's day and age. And when you look at it, when you think about this, Bo, they actually just released the revenue sharing of what major league teams, what the large market teams were doing, and the cut for the Pittsburgh Pirates was actually 6%. And the Los Angeles Dodgers paid the most into revenue sharing, followed by the New York Yankees, and blah 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 blah. There was actually goddamn near $400 million worth of revenue sharing that goes to the small market teams, and the Pittsburgh Pirates got 6% of that. 6%.
Yeah.
And we're talking enough where that should offset the need to not just go ahead and not pay Neil Walker. Like, Neil Walker is a hometown dude.
No, I'm with you.
He is the Pittsburgh Pirates, and they traded him because he wanted to get paid, and the Pittsburgh Pirates started beef. Okay, John, you were absolutely right. That's absolutely right, because you know what? Not only did they let Home Dude go, the H.A. Burnett, they brought him back, but they originally let Burnett go. Then they let Home Dude walk to Toronto, the catcher, Russell Martin. They let him go to Toronto. And now they're going to let Mr. Pirate, they're going to trade Mr. Pirate to the Mets. This is a team that is, I wouldn't say that it's purposely not trying to win, but they're also purposely trying to lose, but they're also not purposely trying to win. They are a team that believes in the budget. And, oh, by the way, didn't the city of Pittsburgh actually, the taxpayers in the city of Pittsburgh build that stadium? So it's publicly subsidized. So not only did they get a free stadium on the taxpayers' dime, you're going to sit there and tell me that you can't give a $2 million raise to the dude that is actually from Pittsburgh that plays second base? You're going to sit there and tell me that come on, man. Come on.
And you trade him for John Neese?
John Neese?
If I'm Neil Walker, that's a flap in the face.
When he's in a Met uniform, when he comes back to Pittsburgh, I hope he kicks the shit out of the Pirates.
I do too.
That's not my fault of the week among the nominees, because they got John Neese. They got John Neese.
You got John Neese.
Awesome.
I'll tell you what, man. You know what? Here's the thing, man. You know who the real fraud of the week is, and I know we're up against the wall and we got to go, but the real fraud of the week is the Minnesota Vikings. I tell you what, man, that team on paper looks good, and they beat up on some really bad teams this year. Teddy Bridgewater looked pretty good, and it was looking like Adrian Peterson was looking good. The Seattle Seahawks went into Minnesota and kicked the shit out of them. They made them look stupid. First it was the Packers, then it was the Seahawks. Look at that. That team is really fraudulent.
Can I make a nominee? Granted, this is Homer.
Go ahead.
The
the Dallas Cowboys offensive line is my fraudulent team of the year. Tony Romo broke his collarbone twice.
How about the entire just Dallas Cowboys? How about the fraudulent team of the decade?
How about the entire NFC East? But no, I mean, honestly, on paper, probably the best offensive line in the game. They lost their quarterback this year twice to a broken collarbone.
Hey, John.
John?
How about the apologist of the week? Bo will anything to make an excuse for the Cowboys. He will go high for the
I'm not making an excuse. I'm not making an excuse for the Cowboys. You can't run the football. You can't run the football, and your quarterback, your star quarterback, has been hurt twice. I'm not making excuses for that team.
You could go the whole NFC East as frauds of the week. I mean, that's a terrible position.
How awful was that game on Monday night? My goodness. That's awful.
Terrible.
Hey, by the way, also, Nick Foles is also probably the fraudulent quarterback of the year. Nick Foles is terrible. All right. So here's what we're going to do, man. I would say that this is pretty fun, man. Show number one is in the book. We didn't have a script. We just came on the air and just, I don't know, we were drinking tequila. At least I'm drinking tequila now. So it's tequila, Coors Light, Bo's drinking the genie over there. I know John probably, you know, down there in South, you know, in Southern Washington, down there in Vancouver, I know John's probably sipping on some type of beer down there, John. I would probably just
not imagine
it.
Not tonight, because John has an early rise tomorrow morning, so not tonight.
All right. I do, but I'm just kind of an alcoholic, so, I mean, it is what it is. So, it is. I got to be honest with you, man. It just is what it is. So, here's what we're going to do, man. I think what we're going to do is maybe we'll do this next week. This sounds pretty fun.
Yeah.
So, here's what we're going to do.
I enjoy myself.
Why not? Yeah, why not? Why not? It's fun. So, how about we do this? All right. So, John, me and Bo used to do something back in the day where we raise our glass and we toast something that either it has happened or will happen in the sports world. We like to give toasts. I like it. It's gentlemanly. It's nice. It's old school. It's dapper. It's like a piece of Frank Sinatra, for Christ's sake. You know what I mean? It's something that's kind of cool. You raise your glass and you make a toast. I like this, and this is what we like to call our toasts of the week as we sign off. And we just, you know, we kind of give thanks to certain things, or maybe we're looking forward to something in the sporting world, or maybe something that's happened within the last week. So I'm going to go first, and I'm going to give my toast of the week. And it's going to be to Jerry DePoto, the new general manager of the Seattle Mariners. Of course, my love fest, my forever, my always, my XOXO. It is my bae. They were before anyone else. Seattle Mariners were before anyone else in my world. They are my bae. I love them to death. Can't live without them. They are my. I hate them. I hate to love them. I love them to hate them. They are my team. I can't live without them. But Jerry DePoto comes in and reshapes the Seattle Mariners in 2 months. What took Jack Sorensic 7 years, Jerry DePoto did in 2 months, and this team is actually really looking good. They brought in Adam Lynn just yesterday. They finally got a catcher. They look good. They finally got a center fielder. They got a right fielder. Nelson Cruz is never going to play the field ever again. He's just going to be a DH. The starting rotation looks good. The bullpen still needs some more work, but it doesn't look horrible. The Seattle Mariners actually look like a real baseball team. They don't look like a pretend baseball team. They look like a real baseball team, John. So for that, to Jerry Poto, my WSU Cougar glass full of tequila and orange juice is in the air. Cheers to you.
Tequila and orange
juice. Oh, tequila is fantastic. So, Jerry DePoto, my cheers to you for a great offseason. I'm looking forward to the 2016 Seattle Mariners baseball season. Bo, actually, you know what? Bo, you're going to go last. John, what is your cheers?
I always
cheers?
Do.
I want to know what your cheers is.
You know what? I'm going to give a toast to the Navy football program. Had a great season. I am a fan of Navy. I really am a fan of Navy. And you know what? I want to toast to Keenan Reynolds, their quarterback, who should have been And I think it's an absolute travesty that he's not, should have been in the Heisman voting race, should be there for the Heisman Award. So, but I'm toasting him and Navy football to absolutely destroy Army on Saturday. That is my toast of the week.
Go Navy.
Nice. Hey, by the way, man, classy John, classy, because you know what? Go Navy as well, too. I used to be an Army guy. That was until my father-in-law graduated from the University of Oregon, but he is a retired naval officer, and because I married into Navy, go Navy.
Absolutely.
Go Navy. My dad was in the Navy, so absolutely, go Navy. Is it my turn?
Bo?
It's your turn, Bo.
All right, guys. You know, I have to go here. My cheer tonight for the week goes to the Dallas Stars. Best start in club history. Best start in club history, and that includes the team that won the Cup in 99, went to the Cup Finals in 2000. Those Dallas Stars are on fire, and they are my toast of the week.
The Dallas Stars. You know what?
They're on fire. You should watch.
It's just like you to come out of left field with a Dallas drop. You know what's kind of funny is, fuck the Dallas Stars. You know what? John, you know
they have the best record of the NHL. That's not out of nowhere.
Fuck the Dallas Stars. Man, fuck them. You know what? The Dallas Stars haven't been shit since Mike Pagano played for them. Fuck the Dallas Stars. Okay, here's the thing. And by the way, that 99 team was actually an amazing team because it had Brett Hull. It had Eddie the Eagle, Ed Belfour. That was actually a pretty amazing team. I actually rooted for that Dallas Star team, but fuck the Dallas Stars.
Darren Hatcher.
It's the San Jose Stars.
Hey.
You know what? Seriously, man.
Best record in the NHL.
And Joe Newendike, I remember that team. Listen. No, here's the thing. John, and you know me. Back me up on this one. The Sharks are the shit. The Sharks are way, way, way
sharks.
Better than the Dallas Stars. I mean,
the sharks,
baby. The Sharks. John, right back, you know hockey.
Right
now? You know
the
hockey,
Sharks.
John. John, back me up here. No, cricket? No? Okay, shit. Okay.
I can't listen.
Back me up, man. The Canucks.
I can't even go with the Penguins in hockey.
How about this one, John? I got one for you, okay? I got one. The Blackhawks are way better than the Stars. I don't know. I don't even know what the standings are. I haven't watched a hockey game in like 3 years. So, how about the Canadiens? I got a better one, John. The Golden State Warriors.
You can't change sports.
I'm just saying they're a better team. I'm just saying. I don't know, man.
You're fishing now. Even John's like, yeah, no.
Okay. I got one. The Atlanta Braves. That's gonna do it for us. We're gonna be back next week. And it's probably gonna be like on a Monday or Tuesday because I don't know, man. Maybe it's gonna be Sunday next week. We just haven't really talked about it yet. So until the day that we talk about it and then actually plan it, that's how it is. John, my man, take us out, my friend. John?
Have a good weekend, everybody. Enjoy the sports from the rest of the week. Watch. Yes, sir.
Okay, that works.
Okay, I'm working on it.
Okay, you're working on it. You're working on it.
Enjoy the week.
I love it. Everybody, you guys just have a great week, man. I hope your weekend goes well. No, it's just 12 seconds. Anyways, have a great weekend. We'll see you next week. All right, bye.